The pasuk tells us that Yaakov Avinu left Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Haran, and he went to Haran. And Rashi comments that when a tzaddik leaves a place, it leaves an impression on the place that the tzaddik is gone. Rav Yaakov Yitzchak Kamenovich, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, one of the old rebbes in Yerushalayim Yerakodesh, one of the old malamdin, once recalled a comment made by the Malbim, who was running away from the maskilim in the city that he worked in. And as he was fleeing the city, the wagon driver asked him how Yitzias Tzaddik, how the Tzaddik, the Malbim, upon his departure, it didn't leave an impression on the people of the city. And so the Malbim explained that in order for the departure of a Tzaddik to leave an impression, there must be those left behind who can be impressed by the departure. And hence, even though it says that when Avram Avinu left Ur Kasdim, it says, he left, Vayitzei Itomi or Kazdim, he left him, but still Rashi over there does not comment about Yitzias Tzaddik Osei Roshem, because in Ur Kazdim there was nobody left to care that Avram was gone. When Yaakov left the Haran, look what he left behind. He left his mommy, he left Rivka Imenu, and he left his father, he left Yitzchak Avinu, and he left the people who were living with them, the whole shop that was involved with them. And so the impression of the tzaddik leaving the city left a profound impact on the city of Be'er Sheva. Sometimes we have to know that there are people left behind in order for us to know that we had an impact. Anyway, Yaakov Avinu sleeps in the place Vayishka b'makom ahu, and he has his dream. And when he wakes up in the dream, the pasuk says Vayikatz Yaakov mishinaso. And I remember as a young man, my dear friend, Mr. David Wiener, he should continue to be well, used to comment as a crackerjack Bal Kore. He would say, Yaakov Avinu didn't wake his Mishnah, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnah so, but rather he woke Mishnah so, he woke up from his sleep. But believe it or not, Mr. Wiener, the Medrash tells us, and quotes Rav Yochanan who said, that no, actually, Vayikatz Yaakov Mishnah so, Yaakov Avinu got up from his learning his Mishnah. And why does the Medrash choose this far-out approach? If Mr. Wiener is correct, we normally don't wake up a Mishnah. It's the Mishnah that's supposed to wake us up. So the famous Nachlas David, Rav David Tevela, explains that if Yaakov Avinu had indeed been sleeping, and had Yaakov Avinu truly been out cold, it would have been enough to say, Vayikatz Yaakov, like it says by Paro, Vayikatz Paro vihine chalom. But by adding the word Mishnaso from his slumber, one learns that there must be something else going on. Rabbi Yochanan determines, by one who knows that studying Torah at night is a greater experience of the Shechina with him, it must be that the thing that Yaakov Avinu woke up from, that powerful impact that was akin to slumber, must have been nothing more than Yaakov Avinu's learning at night. And when he woke up, he said, Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh, v'anochi lo yadati. So suggests Rav David Tevel. So Yaakov Avinu goes to Haran, and he asks the people in Haran, when he meets the shepherd, he says, Achai me'ayin atem. He asks them, where are you from? And when did the shepherds become the achim, the brothers to Yaakov Avinu, that he talks to them with such loving nature? So the Panovich Rav of Yosef Kahneman, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, explains that later in the same conversation, Yaakov gives them Musar about going back to work. So where does Yaakov Avinu get off assuming that the people would bother to listen to a stranger from Canaan? And Rav Kahneman answers that when one begins a conversation by showing the other side that he's interested in them, and he's interested in what they have to stay and stand for, he conveys a sense of brotherhood. Then the people are willing to open a dialogue with him, and sometimes even listen to what he has to say. And so Yaakov Avinu was displaying his love for people around him. And thus he declared, hey guys, achai, even though you're only shepherds to everybody else, to me you're brothers. And so therefore, no matter what I say, try to understand it's coming from a good place. Torah tells us that he meets Lavan's two daughters. And in the context, we're told, Ve'enei Lea Rakos, that Leah's eyes were soft. And Reb Meir of Primishlan, Zecher Tzaddik Livracha, the old Chassidish Rebbe, used to remark that, why was it that Leah's eyes were Rakos, that they were so soft? And citing Rashi, who says she used to cry when she heard that the people used to say Rivka had two boys and Laban has two girls, Hagdolo Lagadol Vatsaira Latsoyer. She used to cry, but Romero used to say what she used to cry about was the fact that she heard that Esav, this terrible Russia, had a younger brother, was a tzaddik, but he could not exert any influence on Esav in order to change him for good. It was that that made her eyes soft. The recognition that no matter what she was going to try to do, it was to have no effect. You know, the question has to be raised, and is raised quite a bit, how was it that Yaakov Avinu married two sisters? And the Ramban explains that in Eretz Yisrael, one volunteers to keep the Torah. And so therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, all the Avos managed to keep the mitzvos. But when Yaakov was in Chutz Laaretz, he didn't have to keep the Kol HaTorah Kula. And so for that reason, Bevoimi Padan Meisal Ay Rachel, it was only in the context of him coming into Padan Aram that Yaakov Avinu had to go ahead and deal with the fact that Rachel Imenu was a sister to Leah Imenu. But Mori Virabi Rav Shechter Shalita quoted Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, who noted that originally Yaakov Avinu promised to marry Rachel, and he was tricked. And the end of the day, he needed to break his promise to Rachel if he was going to not marry two sisters. So sometimes, says Rav Shechter, we say, okay, fine, Sheva Altasa is better. But on the other side, sometimes Sheva Altasa is not better. And since here he was keeping a chumrah not to marry two sisters, after all, it was before Matan Torah, and he was not told that he could not marry two sisters. However, breaking his word was an Isser Gamor, and not only Bein Adam Lamakum, but Bein Adam Lachavero. So in this situation, says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the principle of Sheva Altasa Adif would not apply. Rav Shachter explained to us that sometimes we need to choose the lesser of two evils. And that's when sometimes the principle of Sheva Altasa Adif. But sometimes we lose the real din when we pay attention to Chumras. We need to pay attention to both aspects when we're choosing to figure out what it is we are supposed to do when we hit dilemmas in life. So Yaakov Avinu turns to Lavan and he says, I dealt with you truly well. Lama Rimi Sani, why did you trick me? And the trickery that's utilized by Lavan touched off a major sibling rivalry between Rachel and Leah, who went from being sisters in real life to being Tzaro's co-wives, which later would touch off sibling rivalries in their children in the future as well. And even later in the Parsha, Yaakov Avinu becomes duped by Laban's trickery in switching his salary, Aseres Mona, Mea times, 100 times over. Is this Mida Kenegin Mida for tricking Yitzchak? How is that possible if the only reason that Yaakov Avinu tricked Yitzchak is because his mother told him to do so? So how are we supposed to make sense of all the trickery in this Edra? Mashgiach of Karen B'Yavna, Rabbi Avram Rivlin Shalita, explains that even though Yaakov Avinu was tested with the opposite of his natural strength, remember, Titei Nemes Liyakov is an important statement of where Yaakov Avinu's strength is. He's supposed to be an Ish Emes, tested, of course, with the opposite. That is to say, he's tested with the principles of Shechir, and still Yaakov Avinu passes the test. But notwithstanding, he still needs to deal with the side effects of the use of subterfuge. Says Rav Rivlin, you know what this is like? This is like an individual who has to go ahead and take a horrible medication that's very potent. He still knows he has to take the potent medication. But at the end of the day, he needs other medications to help him deal with the side effects of the potent medication. And so therefore, although he was correct for using sheker with Yitzchak, the sheker left an impression on him that needed to be cleansed via being on the receiving end of that sheker. And thus Yaakov Avinu was subjected to many, many tricks in his life, suggests Rav Rivlin. It's the cleansing process from having to use a negative approach. Finally, at the end of the parasha, Yaakov Avinu finds himself coming back home. And he, on his way home, meets up with the Malachim that was switching back up to Shamayim. Now they're coming back. And in that place, he calls Machanayim. He calls the place Machanayim. And Ramban explains that he called the place Machanayim to note that the place was similar to the his camp was similar to the camp of the Malachim. So Rav Olba Zatzal asks what the significance of the comparison of man to Malachim is all about. By the way, we do that every single day. When we recite Kedusha, Nekadesha Shemcha Ba'olam, we want to sanctify your name in the world, Kishem Shemakdishem Osobishme Marom, like they do in Shemayim. So what was that all about? And Rav Olba answers that in the same way that Malachim, who are spiritual powers from spiritually advanced places, bless Hashem through their work, we in the Olam HaAsiyah also spiritually bless Hashem. We fill the world down here in the Olam HaAsiyah, Kishem Shemakdishem Osobishme Marom. He called the place Machanayim because Yaakov Avinu, who was the man of Shlemus, was able to go ahead and create a camp that was as dedicated to its mission in Olam HaAsiyah in our world as the Malachim are in filling the word of Hashem in Shamayim. The Haftorah that we read this coming Shabbos begins with the phrase Vayivrach Yaakov Stei Lavan Ve'avod Sham Yisrael Be'isho Be'isha Shamar. It's a pasuk in Hosea. And why is Yaakov Avinu first referred to as Yaakov and then later in the Haftorah referred to as Yisrael? Why, and also, why the double mention of women? Ve'avod Sham Yisrael Be'isho Be'isha Shamar. So Rav Shachter Shalita pointed out that the reference was to Yaakov Avinu's experiences in finding a shidduch. First, says Rav Shachter, he sets his eyes on finding a wife and working at it. But it was as easy as Yamim Achadim. But after he was tricked, the additional years were still served in earnest. The only thing is, emotionally, he has to work at it harder. Rav Shachter pointed out that the toughness of the shidduch process for Yaakov was necessary because each of these marriages are going to produce shvatim and ultimately Am Yisrael. Things that come with effort and sometimes through difficulty are things that last. And so thus the Navi begins with Yaakov, but ultimately the destiny of the Jewish people results as a consequence of Yaakov's efforts and his attitude of sticking with it, even though at times it seems to be hard. And what's true for Yaakov Avinu has to be true for his children as well. We always need to put in the effort, and things that come with effort are things that stick with us. Shabbat Shalom to all.